Let's get some perspectives this evening from four really interesting people from the world of business and markets. First up this evening, Stavros Nikolaou, who's Business Unity South Africa board member. From a Business Unity South Africa perspective, Stavros, how are you guys feeling about the threat of corona?
So, Bruce, I think firstly, good evening to you and your listeners. I think Bruce has adopted initially a cautious approach to this, saying we're not going to be panicking. We see this evolving over a number of phases, and I think we need to manage each of the phases. So the initial phase was the prevention and containment phase, and that's the best way to deal with this and the best way to get an early economic recovery. So we're now probably moving into a second phase, but the second phase is obviously the news that there's been the first domestic transmission case. And, of course, that's where government and other social partners have to work together, including Business Unity, have to work together to see how we contain the domestic transmission. And that is really going to hold the key to how deep and wide the impact is going to be economically on public health institutions, on security of supply chains, which remain vulnerable at this point in time. So I think that's kind of where we are. But I think what's important here is we're also taking a view that we should never waste a good crisis, as cliched as that sounds. But I think there's a real opportunity now to address some inherent structural issues that have been affecting our economy for some time. So examples of that would be we can use this as an opportunity to stockpile particularly strategic goods and services, which would boost the manufacturing sector. We remain highly vulnerable from a stockpiling perspective in many industries and sectors across the economy. So I think that's an opportunity. I think another opportunity would be this might be the right time to deal with some of the policy uncertainty so that when we do start getting economic recovery, it's accelerated. Fixing our energy mix.
All of those well-known issues. Stavros Nikolaou, thank you. Business Unity South Africa board member, a wait-and-see approach. Are we taking this issue seriously enough? Should we not be getting more aggressive? Certainly, Cabinet is meeting tonight to talk about this. We are seeing these centres being set up. Perhaps that is important. Paul Theron is standing by. We'll talk to him in just a moment. Also want to talk to Fazam Essani from Valor, because we also saw a capitulation today in the cryptocurrencies. But Isaac Mhlanga, the chief economist at Alexander Forbes, is with us this evening. And by cutting the connections that spread the virus, as Donald Trump is trying to do, as the Danish are trying to do, as the Italians are trying to do, those connections that spread the virus, we may very well be as a cutting off the oxygen of the global economy, that oxygen that the global economy needs to keep moving. And it's a really difficult call to be making right now.
That's very true, Bruce. I think what we're seeing this time around is sudden stops. We normally experience sudden stops in capital flows to countries. But this time around, we see sudden stops in economic activity, sudden stops in people's normal travel, day-to-day lives, which translate into sudden stops in corporates where they eventually stop functioning properly. And as a result, we see this translating into sudden stops in markets where markets no longer function properly. So we are in that state, which is what I normally describe as the second phase of the impact of the coronavirus, the first one being the disruptions of supply and demand side of the economy, the second phase, which is the financial disruptions that are taking place all over the world, which we see also on the JSE. And we have the third and last stage. The third one is when the market will start to looking for the bottom of the market. But unfortunately, that requires the underlying issue to be solved, which means either a vaccine has to be found or there has to be a better way to control the spread. And lastly, I think what you will see going forward, which is going to be a much longer term impact, is when countries realize it's too big a risk to concentrate any form of economic activity ties with China. They're going to diversify away, but that is much a longer term development that we are going to see going forward.
Isaac Langer, thank you for your perspectives this evening. Chief Economist at Alexander Forbes. Paul Theron, Managing Director at Vestac. This is a 1997-style panic. Karen Richards, I'm sure you follow on social media, saying it's the closest thing that she has seen to the first market opening after 9/11, Paul Theron. 10% collapses across Europe, 10% collapse on the JSE, and pretty much that happening in the United States right now.
Yes, not good. You know, if policymakers are not being aggressive enough, Bruce, stock market traders are displaying some admirable aggression on the downside. But, you know, we know this. We know that share prices are not cast in stone, as I always say. You know, they're formed in the market at the midpoint between the buyers and the sellers. Sellers are panicking. Buyers are reluctant. So that's why we have markets down like this. But let me put it to you this way. It's almost as if markets globally are pricing in the mass extinction of humankind, which is clearly ridiculous. You know, I mean, stocks are coming off so sharply because people think this is the beginning of the zombie apocalypse. But we know it's not, because in China, their infection rates have stabilized, et cetera, et cetera. So I think the key here is you don't want to be the klutz who's selling your shares, your valuable assets, at these kinds of market levels. Having said that, the market never lies. You know, I mean, it is what it is. That's the current trading price. And we know this is affecting companies in all sorts of different ways. But I think, as I always say, best keep your head down at times like this.
Paul Theron, thank you. Managing Director at Vestac. And now to Fazam Essani, the co-founder and chief executive at Valor.com. It's a cryptocurrency trading platform. And I don't think we've seen this level of capitulation amongst cryptocurrencies for a long time, Fazam. Cryptocurrencies, one would have thought, might be the new digital gold, but they're not even gold is gold anymore, less so digital currencies too.
You're absolutely right, Bruce. I think today cash was king, and pretty much across the entire asset class spectrum, we saw a bloodbath and the board was red. And cryptocurrencies are no different. Today, Bitcoin was down about 18% just today. Over the past week, it's been down over 30% at 32%. And so many people did hope, I think, in the cryptocurrency community that Bitcoin and other cryptocurrencies would be a hedge against the traditional financial system. That actually hasn't played out. However, it is important to note that Bitcoin over the past year is still 79% up in rand terms. So over a longer period of time, one could say indeed it has been a hedge against the traditional financial system.
So far, so good, Fazam Essani. Thank you. The co-founder and chief executive at Valor.com.